Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit, Answers for Healing and Infinite Love, which shares stories of spiritual awakening, spiritual communication, healing energies, miracles, and ways to discover and use intuition for creating healthier, happier, more productive life experiences. And today I welcome Travis Ruskus, author of The Rock Balancer's Guide, which demonstrates a new form of mindfulness to create a deeper connection with yourself and the world around you. Hello, Travis, and thank you for joining us on Healing From Within.
Hi, Cheryl. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Great. Travis, as listeners of Healing From Within have come to expect over the years, my guests and I explore the metaphysical concepts of life, suggesting we are spiritual beings of energy, having a physical life, and therefore the world we create with our thoughts and actions can be balanced, refined, and can help us and humanity evolve through all and any of the challenges we're facing now for a more cooperative way of helping ourselves and communities to live with greater love and compassion. In today's episode of Healing From Within, Travis Ruskus, who is a professional rock balancer, artist, and meditation instructor who lives in San Francisco, will show us how through the techniques of rock balancing skills, breathing properly at each moment, facing fears, and going beyond previous limits, we can be helped to develop pristine ways of living in balance and harmony with ourselves, others, and the planet. Travis, I always love to ask my guests to think back to an earlier time in life, perhaps their childhood, and to remember a person, place, or event that may have shown them, or others around them, the life path they would follow and the adult lifestyle they might embrace. So think back for a minute.
Well, I guess the first thing that comes to mind is when I was about, I guess, kindergarten. You're just doing the thing, hey, your parents guide you to do this and this and this, and then one day I was all of a sudden coloring, and I had this big, awesome sunset, because I grew up in Boulder, Colorado, and we have amazing sunsets out there, and I just took basically these different, sunset was like a layer of the rainbow, that there were these almost like jagged rainbow lines, and at the second half was just these big purple mountains, like this big purple second half of it. And regardless of how it looks, what happened is, actually it was with the teacher, and the teacher took my art, and I was a little bit bummed of like, hey, wait, I can't keep this. Like, here I am, you know, you talk about putting your energy into something as a kid and you attach yourself to, you know,
yes,
that energy, even at an early age. What happened is a couple weeks later, they said, hey, we put that piece of art in the Boulder County Fair, and it got entered from kindergarten through, I think, fifth grade, and you won. You won the blue ribbon, and here's a check for $2. And they got it to me and all this stuff. And for me, there was, like, so many things that happened of, like, wait, I made money. Like, $2 to me was, like, $2 million. I didn't even
right.
know what to do with that, but it just... As I'm old, I'm like not old, but I'm 29 now, and I look back on that, and it was just such a moment of recognition of my true spiritual energy that I am now. Like, this book is a great example of that, but it became such a journey for myself to reconnect to that, because I started to become, you know, what others tell you should be. And it's a discovery process of me kind of peeling back the layers of that onion to to discover that true self.
See,
So
for me, listening to that story as an intuitive and a Reiki practitioner, which I work on the seven main chakra points, which are reflected by color, each of them by color, and they reflect the rainbow, as you just said you were drawing in your picture. And as spiritual beings within us, even from a young age, we have a remembrance, an awareness of light and love and beauty and goodness. And you were simply expressing that in that beautiful picture. And the light was there, and also your life path was there in that picture. So
so true, and it's
I
crazy
love
because
hearing that. And you wanted to hear something else funny. My middle name is Iris. And I came to understand that names have great spiritual value. And I found out that Iris means rainbow, goddess of messages. And the rainbow colors are the same as the chakra or energy points that connect us to universal energy and to this life force that's all around us and within us. Now, I'm sure my mother did not know that when she named me that. She probably just thought of it as a beautiful flower, but
so true.
it had meaning to my life purpose, and I discovered it as you discovered it a little later on, but it was already there, and our destiny was already there also. So that's a great story. Let's go on to tell us something about rock balancing and how you found this art along your journey to also looking for enlightenment.
The gap between the two is quite a large one, and we unfortunately don't have enough time. But it's just so interesting too with how I still have that image framed at my parents' house, and whenever I go back home to stay with them, I see it and I visit my younger self. It's just such a emotional kind of experience that I have, and I think that's the kind of the power of the art. And the power of art has become this journey for me. And essentially, how this rock balancing journey began was I was working in kitchens in San Francisco. I moved from Boulder to San Francisco after a few years of college, bouncing around majors in mechanical engineering, psychology. It just wasn't resonating like the way art did. But I thought, hey, I could go to culinary school. I can make art with food and, have a trade. My dad was always saying, you gotta have a trade. You gotta have a trade. And he never really thought I could have a trade with art, which is a whole kind of story in itself. But at the same time, he's very true. You got to be kind of real and practical with your dreams. And this whole journey
Absolutely.
has become like a full circle of me kind of showing him, like, here, I'm doing this. Not necessarily for you, for myself, but you have allowed me to make my dreams kind of real with the skepticism. So I moved to San Francisco to go to culinary school, and it was like not the dream that I had envisioned. It's much harder when you're in kitchens. It's a really tough environment, and it taught me an incredible work ethic. And from that, I moved up to Portland and worked in a couple kitchens, and then I got fired right before Christmas, which allowed me to kind of really think back on what happened. Why did I get fired? Because all these people were giving me smiles. I thought I was doing a great job, but unfortunately, when they say, hey, you're fired, we were talking behind your back and we don't like you, I just was questioning the whole industry. Like, is this going to happen at the next job I was at? So during that time in that space where I was kind of reconsidering things, I found that I was going and painting a lot more. So when I was still working in the kitchen, at night I would be painting like this abstract stuff just to release some of the stress and tension. And it would feel so great to throw some paint down, take a ruler and smear it around and kind of look at what abstract shape I had and the colors and what that actually represented to me. Was it, pain, flow? Did it mean like some experience that I had in the past or a story? Was there a story in this abstract colors and shapes? And that actually translated to in the future when I picked up this rock balancing thing, because as I make new rock balances today, I'm always thinking about what theme can I embody in this balance? So like today is the autumn equinox, to fast forward to this moment, and I'm going to make a rock balance this afternoon, and I haven't really figured out a specific see, and maybe we can work through it together as we kind of go through this talk. But I'm going to embody that in the balance. And the previous one I did was beyond, and it was thinking about beyond and that elements of beyond, and how can I take these rocks and make them more than just rocks, a symbol of the elements of beyond. So those early days painting in Portland allowed me to, I guess, harness that today. And so what happened and how I transitioned into rock balancing is I couldn't really make it work painting. I wanted to get away from the kitchens and I wanted to paint, and it was just so hard. Every artist that starts out is met with a ton of skepticism, maybe friends and family purchasing some work. But other than that, it's hard to really get the world to care. You have to dig in your heels and work your face off in order to get someone to notice. And it just takes time. So for me, I didn't have enough money to sustain myself in Portland. And I moved back home with my parents. I broke up with my girlfriend in Portland. It was just like a huge kind of coming out of the illusions that I had built for myself in order to kind of step into who I was. At the time, of course, I had no idea about this. It was just the worst, lowest, toughest pain of my life. And when I experience that, when I'm teaching people with workshops, I just have so much happiness for them with their pain, because you're going to be able to move forward into the truth when you experience that pain. So what happened with me, how I started rock balancing, is one day I'm in the river, just super, super sad. It was spring by then, and my feet are in the river, and I'm feeling the water flow past my legs. It's icy cold from the canyon and the snow melting from the Colorado mountains. And it was kind of this metaphysical thing where I was able to see myself feeling the water and then thinking about feeling the water and then feel the water and then think about feeling water. I couldn't just continually feel the water. It's like I could notice there was this light switch going on and off, like feel, not feel, feel, not feel. So as I started to really look down at my feet to just try and feel constantly, I noticed the stones below. And it was almost like a old friend saying hello again. Mm-hmm. And, this could be God or the spiritual energy that gives us life, whatever mm-hmm. you want to call it. But I just think of it like your elbow. You don't really think about your elbow, but it's always there. It's helping you move your hand, helping you turn the page, open a door. But you're never like, hey, elbow, thank you so much for your work. It's just there. And in that moment when I'm there looking at these rocks, I decided to just pick one up, to kind of put my hand through the running water, grab one and pick it up. And when I held it in my hand, it was almost like, because I was so sad, we become more receptive, almost like a psychedelic experience. You remove the ego and you can just see the moment as it truly is. And I it was like the first time I saw a rock, and I saw the gold sparkling in it and the silver and the purple of the rock and the mountain that it came from. But it was also the way the sun was kind of cutting through the trees, that it was just like I was able to almost re-experience the moment. And as I'm holding the rock, I was able to see my fingertips around the rock, and I was questioning, how old is this rock? So Cheryl, like, you see rocks all the time, how old do you think a rock is?
Depends on the rock, but I know you said at this time when you were looking at the rocks and contemplating life and what life's all about, you thought, or you wrote, there is no way that you would be here on Earth by accident. There has to be a reason you are alive right now. And absolutely, exactly. What you were discovering then was a moment of your soul remembering itself and remembering that we are here simply for that purpose, to know that we are eternal and more than any event, any moment in time, but all eternal life and all the events we will experience here and beyond. So there's a bigger plan, and you know now there's nothing random. It was not an accident that it didn't work out for you in the restaurant business. It was an experience you needed to have, but it wasn't where you needed to stay. And you also say that rock balancing, it's been around for thousands of years, and it's a guide, and it's part of a reawakening of a lost ancient wisdom, which is what we're talking about as far as what's within us in the soul. And it teaches you to learn how to let go of your creations, freeing yourself into the next moment. And so all these difficult events that we have do exactly the same thing. And it sounds to me like you were having an epiphany in that moment in the water with the stones, an awakening in the dark moment of your soul as you were moving past whatever it was that was holding you back from the lightness of your being and the path ahead. And in my book, The Living Spirit, I address this moment of awakening in this way. And I wrote, "As I began to step outside my comfort zone, I realized that there were thousands of people just like me who had been thrust into a new state of awareness of life beyond the physical plane. Once this happened, it was impossible to go back to that three-dimensional way of thinking. Suddenly, the concerns of everyday living, like worrying about paying the rent and managing our family and careers, was no longer enough. We were seeking something greater. We're seeking the truth of why we are all here and our connection to what is beyond us." So you found it in that moment in the water. I found it in many other moments, but those of us who find it at all in this life are the most fortunate of all souls, because it's the reason we were born. And we're lucky and should have gratitude for that, and then be able to balance no matter what happens, just like your rocks balance into a beautiful portrait of the moment and time and space. So we do that also as human and spiritual beings. But let's get on to what are the seven keystones of rock balancing?
And that was so beautifully said. I couldn't have said it any better. And it's just so nice to, like you're saying, the more that I'm doing these interviews, the more I'm discovering, hey, there's so many people just like me that share the same energy. So,
Isn't it lovely?
thank you for that. And one thing I really wanted to touch up on is like that moment of awakening was when I, yes, held the rock. But once I started to balance and teach others how to balance, I would see the same look in everyone's eye. And that's when I knew that I had to dedicate my whole life to this, because it wasn't dependent on your race, religion, age, any of these surface level things that us as modern humans with our egos kind of judge each other with. It's almost as if the rock is this mother and father figure kind of guiding us, saying, it is, there's no judgment of it. So
That's
the seventh
beautiful
step.
also. Yeah, that's the truth of going beyond all the politics, economic structures, religious structures, and all the problems that mankind has made for themselves in trying to limit and separate. And you found the unity in the beauty of doing this, and I'd like to try it myself, actually. It's so
And
incredibly beautiful.
even if you don't even try rock balancing, it's more of taking this as a metaphor for your new book that you're coming out with, or this podcast, or someone who's listening, like checking their email, or driving in traffic is my favorite. So if you can just take these seven principles and just apply them to anything, then I believe that you'll become essentially the fullest version of yourself. So if I can I kind of walk you through those?
Yes, go on to
It
the
sounds like
save, and
you.
I'm doing them all, but let's let our listeners hear the seven keystones of rock balancing, and indeed the seven keystones of living an intimate life with yourself and encouraging better relationships and love on the planet also. Go on.
So the first step is to breathe. So if you and I can, let's just take a breath. Everyone listening, let's just breathe. Just one breath. And this is the moment right now. And the more times that you can remember to breathe, the more times you can just tap into the moment right now. This is our story unfolding. when I go out in balance, step one, before I come in with my ego and the celebrity of I'm going to make the most amazing balance, I just breathe and just feel the moment. And then from there, I kind of, like I was saying earlier, try and think of a feeling that comes to mind. And what's a feeling that comes to mind right now with you, Cheryl? What is some element that you're kind of going through right now?
All right. Well, I have a new book coming out, New Life Awaits, The Eyes of Spirit Share Evolution, Revolution, and Global Awakening. And I have a hope for the book to be a way to open past the limitations that so many people have put upon themselves that have brought so much anger and pain to themselves and to others and to the world, actually, and to just allow it to shine the light that your beautiful picture, you know, when you were in kindergarten, that the picture of the sunset that you drew opened to every person who saw it. They saw a light, they saw a gift, they saw a hope, and so I guess that's the opportunity that we wish. New doors to open and have other people develop a mindful practice of just being grateful for life. So I guess that's what it makes me think of.
That's fantastic. And when I get people to do this exercise with me on the beach, when I get them, we do a little bit deeper meditation that unfortunately for time we can't go into, but when they're in this peaceful, calm, meditative state, I say, okay, if you can try and explain this experience in one word, what would it be? And everyone has a different word. And there was one word that you said that actually resonated really strong with me, and that was the word of revolution. And I think that you and I can also connect on that thing because you and I are trying to start a revolution here, and I find it pretty difficult.
We're rebels. We're sort of spiritual rebels, I guess.
So with that in mind, I move forward, and I like to embrace opportunity. And you can see all the rocks around you, and it's, you know, how do you choose the rocks? And do they choose you, or do you choose them? And it's a philosophical debate, but ultimately you just got to let yourself flow and grab some rocks that kind of call to you. So from there, you want to believe in yourself, and that's the third step. You have to believe, because if you're approaching it with fear and failure of, oh man, when I put this next rock on, it's not going to work, like that is definitely what is going to happen. If you believe that it's actually going to balance, that's how I'm able to overcome the failure, but also achieve some of these balances that make people question if it's even real, which to me is the whole light shining on their belief system of, you know, what we kind of think. So I find that most humans doubt as soon as they see, and it's a matter of experiencing in order to really believe. So after you believe, which is can be difficult, but it is essential, we want to just balance. We want to find, okay, I have belief in myself to be in the San Francisco Museum of Modern Art and the greatest art of all time. Ego aside, I just feel that I have this really powerful artistic energy, but I need to balance that with reality. I need to find that space between idea and reality, and I like to call that the creative gap. So what you're doing is you're just kind of slowly coming back from your dreams along the horizon to meet yourself right where you're at in this moment, and that's where you'll find that center of balance. So once you get to that and you discover, oh wow, this is how you can really find this balance and the flow through life, you discover what your limits are. So that's the next element here, is limits. And what I like to do is people who are done with their balances, they look at me for validation, which they don't need to do. I make sure that they're doing it for themselves. But then I go and I challenge them. I say, can you do one more? And it's almost as if I'm giving themselves the opportunity to just push outside your previous limits. And I think we do kind of need an external force in order for us to see the infinite limits that we possess inside. But with that, you don't want to get carried away, because then what I find is people get caught up in the just one more mentality, and you're never going to be satisfied if you can't really see where your true limits are. So for me today, when I'm going to go make this balance, I think I'm going to do Revolution. I haven't done one called Revolution. It'll be in your honor, Cheryl.
Oh, thank you. That'll be cool. Send me a picture.
Of course. Yes, yeah.
You know, Travis, long ago, about 20 years ago, one of the first mediums who gave me a reading, and I was a skeptic. I didn't believe in, you know, life after death or eternal life or the universe having a great plan for us. I was more into the material world, as I had been taught by my family. And this medium said that my mother was telling me that it was very important for me to learn to let go. And I, at that time, had no idea exactly what that meant. But when you were just talking, you were saying what it is. Nothing is permanent. We are beings of light and eternal potential and infinite energy to create. We're a creative force, whether we're here in this physical life or beyond this physical life. So we just have to let go, evolve, and move freely, like water. I think you discussed that in the book, moving through water. And I would like readers to remember, you sort of gave this idea out. Think about how everybody has their own unique personality, and yet despite these differences, we are all united. You and I are all one, and everything in the universe is connected, and we are all connected because we share the same earth, breathe the same air, see the same moon and sun in the sky. Therefore, know you are not alone. And that is a concept that I have shared in my three books also, and it's very important for people to know that. So I want to thank you, Travis Ruskus, for writing a beautifully artful and poetic view of how to engage with life through a practice of rock balancing, meditation, being in nature, and living life to its fullest. Along with the beautiful photos and insightful quotes, the reader is able to gain a clearer way to appreciating themselves and others without fear. To purchase this book, go to TravisRuskus.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing from Within, I must say that in my travels, I have seen these beautiful rock sculptures and always took note of them in my heart and mind, and today have seen that the reason they spoke to me as they did to Travis, because it was a connection to harmony, peace, and balance, and the journey of the soul finding itself once again in this physical world, where sometimes pain, sorrow, or trauma may surface, but helping us find ways to move past it all for realigning in time to the best of the energy within and around us. It is in finding tools, gratitude, mantras, and like-minded people that we find greater love for self, others, and life in all its wonderment. Travis and I would have you begin to feel and know that along your journey of life, there will be a moment when you can feel that spark of divinity within your heart and soul and breathe in life in its infinite potential and love. And then together we may begin the change to change the world and ourselves as Travis did, one rock at a time. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit, Answers for Healing and Infinite Love, and invite you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, to read about and listen to the amazing stories of authors and leaders in the fields of metaphysics, science, spirituality, medicine, psychology, and the arts and music, revel in the mysteries and stories of the universe, and to find, as you and I are finding, that we are indeed made of stardust. Shows may also be heard on webtalkradio.net or dreamvision7radio.com. Thank you.